All right, good morning. If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, hopefully if you don't, there's one right in the pew in front of you. Let's go to the Gospel of John, and we are in the fourth chapter today. You know, I had a bit of unfortunate something happened to me this week. I lost my wallet. Oh. And that's horrible. I mean, it was bad. I didn't have no cash in it. I keep my cash in my money clip, but all my stuff, the credit card, the company credit card, my driver's license, all that other stuff is in the wallet. And I had gone, we had a delivery going to PCA, two golf carts, and I had to pull my truck up far enough where I could get gas in the cans and get gas in one of the golf. So I was working off the trailer. They had a smart thing now, right? So I normally just take the wallet and I stick it to the little thing and it goes, doot, done. And I push 87 regular. And I laid the wallet on the truck bed. And I proceeded to fill up all my carts. And I got done, and apparently I was in such a good mood that I just walked right past the wallet and got back in the truck. And I drove off. And not thinking another thing about it, had gone back to the shop, sat there, unhooked my trailer, still nothing to think about it. Layette said, hey, how about you go get you some lunch and you take that other one to PCA, use my truck. I said, boom, done. Went to my truck to go get my wallet, and the wallet's gone. And I said, ruh-roh, it's between there and there. So I drove real, real slow, and I did not see it anywhere along that path. And I thought, that's gone. And I felt so lost, because then I had to call my first bank and cut it off. Then I had to call another bank, cut that one off. Then I had to call Lance, the boss, and tell him, hey, guess what? Got a company credit card floating around out there. Need to cut that off too. My Social Security card is in there too. I mean, it's all gone. And I'm like, I guess maybe I'll just rename myself, you know. Jose Gallardo, you know, I've always been wanting to call something cool. I know. So, needless to say, I thought, well, Lord, that's all right. The wallet Anna had given me years ago, and I thought I'll just hold on to it. And, it's gone. I'll get her to get me another one for Christmas. That'd be a good gift. And lo and behold, Emily says, well, let me go look. And I said, okay, yeah, go knock it out. It's between here and there. She even put it on City Unclutch. And she calls me Saturday, and she says, Daddy, I found your wallet. I said, no way. Where? The opposite side. So it rode all the way to Prattville Christian Academy. Done all my business, still did not see anything about it, and then I left, was headed back to Lowe's, lost it over there. Well, apparently when it fell off the truck, everybody and their brother tried to hit it, and they succeeded. So the poor wallet was just mangled up. I mean, but all the cards were there. They were damaged, but I got my Social Security back, my driver's license back, so that saves me a lot of time. I've already killed all the accounts, so if I ask for some money, it's because I don't have a way to pay for it. But you know what I mean. I felt so lost and so helpless when I had done that. But it was all my fault. And those things happen to us, believe it or not. So y'all know the feeling that I'm talking about. Last week, I talked to you about giving to God. I spoke on this hard, and I didn't go hardcore, but I spoke on giving, I spoke on, this falls right in line with trusting. And then when I got the word on Scott Hamilton that he had been nominated a deacon, all that brought up exciting stuff like, oh, it's ordination. That's exciting. I've never had to do that before. And we're so proud of, you know, that's people that are growing up in the church. So last week we spoke on giving to God what is his because God has blessed us with it. But today, we're going to look at a man who trusted Jesus. Matthew, and I have never spoken on these scriptures before, but we're in John chapter 4. We are looking at verses 43 through 54, right there. And I want to read those first two right there to you. Actually, I want to open up with 43 through 47. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own home country. So when he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. So once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had returned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official, is what the Bible, my NIV tells me, whose son lay sick at Capernaum. So when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. Let's open up with a word of prayer right there. Father, dear Lord, we all need to trust you more. We do, hands down, dear God. We need to trust you with it all, Father God. And a lot of times, Lord, we want to think that we do that, Jesus. But sometimes we're always holding back just a little bit so we don't totally let go, God. You see it in our lives, Father God, I know. Lord, this is what happened to the royal official. You give us an example in your word, God, of how we see it come to pass and how we see we just need to trust. Lord, be with us this morning, Father God, as we draw closer to you, Father. As we just want to draw closer to you, Lord. Lord, may your spirit rest on each and every one of us. Lord, it's these things I ask in your name. Amen. When we see it right there, point number one, when trouble strikes, just trust. When trouble strikes, just trust. When sickness strikes, just trust. Simple as that, just trust. The royal official here that he's referring to, that tells us he was a noble man. He was a man of wealth. He had to have been a king's man in the court. Okay? Think about that. He was wealthy is what I'm getting at. He was a man of position. He had money, he had influence, but he had a problem because his son was going to die. It tells us that he's sick. There would have been no reason he wouldn't have went after Jesus if he was not desperate. He was. That's exactly what I get out of the story. I'm sure he had hired the best doctors. I'm sure he had bought the best medicine that he could for his son when you think about it. This was a man of position is what it was. Read the scripture. I'm not making it up. But I'm sure he had hired everything he could, but he was watching his son slip away. For the first time, he probably realized just how little money meant. That's serious. Just how little it meant. Because money can keep poverty out of your door. But it can't buy happiness. It can't. Money can buy a house, but it can't buy a home. Do you hear me? Do you feel me on that? That's the truth. It can do those things. Money can't buy wisdom. Money can buy a degree. But it can't buy wisdom. And if you don't know what that means, come see me after the service and I will explain. Money can't buy love. Money can't buy friendship. Money can't buy respect. And these are things that it can't buy. This goes on your walk with Jesus and what you're doing. If you're here and here and this morning, if you're sitting in the pew, if you're among God's people, you are in the right place. You are starting off right, is what I'm commending you on. You are doing the right thing. Money can't buy peace or joy, and money can't buy eternal life. We know that. Look at what the nobleman, the royal official is what my Bible says. His son is sick in Capernaum. He has come away. The royal official has had to see grief before he could see grace. Does that make sense? He had to see grief before he could see grace. That works for us too. I'm sorry to say, but it does. Sometimes we must see grief before we see grace. We as imperfect humans always ask God, why have you allowed troubles to come into my life? And if you feel this way this morning, I want to share with you something that will change your point of view. Anything, let me say this exactly right. Anything that drives you closer to Jesus is a blessing. Anything that drives you closer to Jesus is a blessing. Now, sometimes we don't always see it that way. Because a lot of times when God's working in our lives, when we just need to trust and obey, Scott's in that situation right now. Lord, are you sure about this? Lord, I'm an imperfect person. I already know the prayers he's been praying. I prayed them too when I was elected deacon. Same thing. God, anything that happens that brings us closer is a blessing. Second point for today. When God speaks, just trust. When God speaks, just trust. Look at 50 through 52 right there. Let's read what God's word said. He said, I'm sorry, let me pick it up in 48. I apologize. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. And the man took Jesus at his word and departed. He took him at his word right there and he departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. And when he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him. When God speaks, just trust. The royal official wants Jesus to go and lay hands on his son, but Jesus had other plans. But it says right there in 50, he said, the man just took Jesus at his word and departed. The royal official knew that he had found somebody like no other. Like no other. He has found somebody that is completely different. And he knows there is something special about Jesus happening. It says it right there, because if you put yourself in that situation, you're a man of influence and power. I believe in theory he could have had Jesus arrested right there and said, oh no, you will come because I'm a royal official. I'm high up. I got to make a phone call or a chariot yell, whatever they did back then, and I could get you arrested and get you in front of the Senate or get you in front of the council. But he didn't do that. He just said he left. When he took his word, he departed. look at, I want to read something I found in one of my commentaries that I really want you to hear my words, and I want you to listen carefully. This man learned that seeing is not believing. Amen? Does everybody know where I'm going with this? Seeing is not believing, but rather believing is seeing. Think about that. Believing is seeing because you trust God. We can't see Him. But when we believe first, then we can see Him. A man, I read one time about a man who was crossing a desert back in the days of the pioneers, and he ran out of water. He was dying of thirst when he came upon a water pump near an old abandoned shack. And there was just that water pump sitting there. He had had no water. Well, he had no water to prime the pump with. But he noticed there was a jug of water near the pump with a note attached. The note said, "There's just enough water in this jug to prime the pump, but not if you drink any of it first." Oh, man. The well had never gone dry, even in the worst times. Pour the water in the top of the pump and the top of the pump and pump the handle quickly, and you will have all the water you can drink. After you are finished, refill the jug for the next man who comes along. Now, that's a tough decision to make if you know that you've been in the desert, that you're thirsty, that you have water standing in front of you. You have to put your trust into that pump. So you're going to take all that water that's right there in front of you. You can't drink any of it. You got to pour it on the pump, and you got to pump that handle as quick as you can. But if you do this and you do it, you'll have all the water you can drink. That's tough. The man had to make a decision. He could see the water in the jug. He could only believe the water was in the well, so he had to make a decision. Is seeing believing, or is believing seeing? Well, the man believed, primed the pump, and had all the water that he could drink, but understood he had to believe there was water in the well before he could ever prime that pump and see it. He had to believe it was there. You don't receive and then believe. You believe and then receive is what you do. That's exactly what happens. Third point today. When grace appears, just trust. We've already seen this royal official have to go through so much in his life that he's seeing, but his thought process, his change in Jesus has changed his life. The man, it says right there, right below 50, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. And while he was still on his way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. So when he inquired to the time, yesterday, one, the fever left him, then the father realized the exact time at which Jesus said to him, "Your son will live." And so he and his whole household believed. Could you imagine what it would have been like on that walk home for that royal official? When all those servants were coming out and they're saying, "Oh, rejoice, your son is healed. Your son is healed." He says, "I know, but let me tell you about who healed my son. Let me tell you about this man I met, Jesus." "Oh, but aren't you excited? Aren't you excited that your boy's healed? It's over, he's better." "I am. I'm so excited that my son's healed, but now I gotta lead my Lord to, I gotta save my son. I gotta lead him to Jesus. Next, I've experienced something. I've experienced a miracle in my life. Although I couldn't see it, but I do now." He says, "I'm glad my son is cured, but I'm more concerned my son is saved." That royal official, who was probably a father, a husband, everything he had to do, he led that entire household to Christ, is what he did. It's truly an amazing story right there that we get to take part in, that we get to see God's word. when we just trust. What's your excuse? Now let me back this up just a minute. And I'm not trying to shin kick. I ain't trying to do any of that. Don't get me wrong. But what holds us up from trusting all the way? What holds us up from completely letting go? Do we get in the way, Steve? We do. A lot of times it's us. A lot of times we don't know how to completely let it go. We're going to find if, I don't know if y'all have been noticing in the past few months, we've been growing as a church. We have been. And it's been sweet because I want that sweet, sweet Holy Spirit back in here. I do. When you see God's word, and then the Father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole entire household believed. The whole household believed. Sometimes giving to God what is God's is sometimes the easiest thing we can do, if you think about it. We might make it too hard, but God doesn't. We do. I mean, that's true. But I'm telling you what, when you let go and let God, it works out. It might not always make sense on the calculator. Me and Patsy have talked about this. But it works out in the end. It does. When trouble strikes, we just trust. When God speaks, we just trust. And when grace appears, just trust. Psalm 9:10 says, listen to God's words. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who trust in you. Trust in God today. Trust in Jesus today. If there's a single doubt, if something traumatic's going through your life, come up here and leave it at the altar today. I could get a deacon down here. I could get anybody down here to pray with you. I'll pray with you. Just come and leave it here today. Give it to God. Push it up above your head and leave it right here is what I ask you. Because life's too short for you to burden it one more minute. Leave it today at the altar. Trust God completely. Let's close in prayer. Father God, Lord, we just want to give it all to you, Father. And Lord, that every situation, no matter what's going on, Lord, in anybody's life, God, help us to just press it up to you, Lord, and let you have it, God. We know, Father, the God that seeing is not believing, but rather believing is seeing, God, when we just look for you, Lord. God, be with us, dear God, as we just want to be found in your will and your glory, be found in step and step with you, dear God. Are we perfect? No, Lord, we're not. That's the beauty of it, though, God. You know that. And Lord, let us, we're right there beside you. You do not forsake us, Father God, when we seek you. Help us all to be seeking you more and more, Father, in all that we say and in all that we do, God. Forgive us, dear Lord, when we fail you. Forgive us, God, when we sin against you, when we do the wrong things. Help us to know, Father God, that all we need to do is just trust. Father, be with all these families that were mentioned this morning. Be with them all, Lord Jesus. Be with us, Father God, as we go into our next hour, that, Lord, this week we will keep on the lookout for you and all those we mentioned on our prayer list, Father God. We just want you to be with them. Lord, thank you for this wonderful day and forgive us of our sins. It is in your Son's most precious and holy name I pray. Amen. If everybody will please stand. Sister Leslie, what you got today? Just as I am, page 435. If you'd like to come pray at the altar, if the Lord's laid something on your heart, move membership, whatever the case may be, come down and see me. we'll go from there. Thank everybody for being here this morning. Pray for our deacons this week. Pray for our church. May God bless each and every one of y'all. John Threlkill, you pray for us today.